Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Just after 9, day before Thanksgiving, and again, if something goes down with Matt, which would be after the game tomorrow, we will be local starting at 5 a.m. on Friday. Local all day. Cap J. Hood, Carm Yerk, Waddle Sylvie, Black Abdallah will be all over this whole fiasco, and we want to give you a chance to have your voice heard. We'll bring you all the facts, but you, on this station, you're going to have a chance to give your thoughts and what you want, what you expect, the whole deal. By the way, did you see this thing from Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I didn't.
Danny, did you see the Giannis tweet?
You know, Cap, I don't follow Giannis.
Okay, Giannis tweeted, "You won't believe me, but a kid just told me to try dunking my Oreos in milk."
Oh,
man, game changer.
Oh, I'm
Hashtag mad my girl didn't tell me sooner. Hashtag new bedtime snack.
Can I say
got
this?
87,000 likes.
Can I say this is the reason that I don't follow him? If you're not smart enough to figure out that you dip a cookie in milk, I've got no use for
you. He was on the streets of Greece.
Oh, I'm sorry. On the streets of Greece, you don't know to dip a cookie. They have cookies and they have milk in Greece.
No, this is the
dumbest tweet of all time.
No, it's not. Think
block
about this.
And mute Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Think about the beauty of life that Giannis is experiencing for the very first time as a grown man. If I could go back to that moment as a child, as a six-year-old, where my dad's like, yeah, you like those Oreos? Let me slide this glass of milk over your way. Hold that in there for a couple of seconds.
Do you remember that moment? He's 47 years old.
Giannis gets to experience as an adult something that nobody ever gets to have. The first time you dunk an Oreo in milk, you are an adult? And you get to form this memory forever? Are you kidding me? Be happy for the man.
Guys, I'm sorry.
The man just experienced a singular joy. You've got to find space to be happy.
He's been in Milwaukee since 2013. He played professional basketball in Greece. It's not like he was living under a rock, guys. Somebody somewhere should have shown this to him. I think it's a lie.
In Milwaukee, you dip your Oreos in cheese. It is not a custom
or
there.
You fry them,
it's
right?
You fry the
and
cheese.
Then you light
and
then it
then
on
dip
fire.
It in, yeah, that's what's how that happens.
I don't believe it. I think it's a lie for likes. That's what Giannis is doing. And if I sound like a bitter Bulls fan, it's because I am.
You know what's going to be funny, though? I can't wait for the thirsty tweet from Oreo to jump in on this. They're gonna have something. They're right now. What is Oreo? They're brainstorming. How do we respond? Their social media team is on this because they know they can't blow this shot.
You mean the folks at Oreo are changing their schedule of press events today just because of something that happened on Twitter? What a novel concept. Just change the plan a little bit because something important has happened.
Something big is going down.
I'm a fan. If Oreo can manage it, so can the Bears.
Back to the phones, 312-332-3776. Your favorite or disliked sides, like mac and cheese, sucks. Most overrated food in the history of the world. I'll tell you another one. Who in the H eats yams? Like a yam.
Well, it depends on how they're
what
prepared.
What the hell is a yam?
It's like a sweet potato.
Yeah, it's a tuber. Potato.
It is a sweet potato. By the way, as the armchair nutritionist, and a brand new podcast is up today, you should check it out. Ooh. Help you live a longer, healthier life. I will say this. Yams are very, very healthy for you. Very healthy for you.
A hard pass on yams. Now, here's another one. I'll eat sweet potato fries. I will not eat sweet potatoes. Like sweet potato pie does nothing.
Not a big fan of sweet potatoes, fries, really in general. I do go for... Whether it's sweet potatoes or yams, you line the pan and you do the maple syrup and the brown sugar and then you top them with the marshmallow.
You're killing the healthful benefits I'm preaching.
Don't care. The toasted marshmallow thing, I'm a total sucker for it. Just on anything. S'mores, maybe one of the finest desserts in all the land because of the toasted marshmallow. That's where you go for the sweet potatoes and the yams.
Let's go to the phones. Firefighter Sean is over on the south side. What's up, Sean?
What's going on, Cap? Look, you are downplaying mac and cheese really hard. You may not have some good mac and cheese. You got to try some of my mom's. It is the best you've ever had in your life.
I've had it with different things in the mac and cheese. I've had it plain.
Not with bacon, none of that other stuff. Just mac and
cheese. I've had it. Don't like it. Think it's the most overrated food of all time.
Nah, you're not having the right count. Oh, also, so Sunday we're watching the Bears game here at the firehouse.
Uh-huh.
And it was just so disheartening. Me and the guys sitting around watching it. It's so disheartening room for this team sometimes. Once they clean house, a name that doesn't get mentioned enough, Will McClay of the Dallas Cowboys. They need to get him in and bring in some players because he's hit on pretty much every player that they've bought in Dallas. They may not have the success, but they are good players down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he's a guy that Jerry Jones has said, I'm never letting him get away. So we'll see.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Bears can write a big enough check.
I would hope so. By the way, where's your firehouse?
Engine 94, right off of Irving Park and Menards.
We got Hoodie and I got to come out there one day, bring some Malnati's pizzas to you, and watch something with you guys.
Always welcome. You guys are welcome anytime. We're here to serve the public.
Well, you shoot us an email, and we'd like to make that happen, okay?
All right, I'll make sure to bring some mac and cheese for you, Cap.
Yes.
Have a great day, Sean.
Change his mind
you
while he's
too.
Down there,
see
Sean.
You, buddy.
That's fantastic.
312-332-3776. Tim's in St. Charles. Hey, Tim, what's up?
Hey, guys. Dude, cheesy hash brown potatoes with these little onions in them.
Yeah.
My wife makes it. You throw it in the oven. Unbelievable.
What is it?
It's called cheesy hash brown potatoes.
Yeah, they'll leave the cheese. Like, I don't like cheese fries.
Yeah, I know, man, but you got to try it. It's not like mac and cheese or anything like that. The potato part is in there, too. It's so good.
Tim, with the little pearl onions in there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that's what we're talking about.
Tim, have a good holiday, man. Appreciate it.
The little pearl onions in there. What's up. A little bake.
Like, like if you go to Michael's Hot Dogs or Superdog, if you're going to eat that stuff, get the regular fries. Don't slather that cheese over them.
You go to Red Hot Ranch, you get the cheese sauce on the side, you control the amount of cheese you're putting on each fry.
I don't want cheese on my fries.
Oh, you're wrong. You gotta go in for it.
Danny,
guys,
when you ate that, were you a cheese fry guy?
You gotta get the good cheese at
Red Hot. Every once in a while, like if you went to, remember Poochie's and Skokie or Big Herm's?
I used to manage Big Herm's.
Oh my God.
I was the manager.
The cheese that they put on the fries, it was like out of a can and they had to like spatula it on.
Right.
That was delicious. Yeah. Let me tell you this, Connor.
You know who I used to serve at Big Herm's, by the way? A sidebar, may I approach?
Absolutely.
Brought to you by Ankin Law, our guy Howard Ankin, 3126 million. I used to serve Eddie Vedder. He used to go to Big Herm's.
Did he get cheese
Eddie
fries?
Vedder.
Cheese fry guy?
Did you know it was him?
I did not know it was him. And when I got to meet him at Wrigley, we started talking. He was lived in Evanston. He's like, I said, I used to manage a place called Big Herm's. He's like, dude, I hate it, Big Herm's all the time. I'm like, I probably served you.
I heard he used to order, I'll take a cheeseburger.
And couldn't understand who he was ordering.
Man.
Sorry, Eddie, what is it you wanted? You're just kind of mumbling. What are you saying?
Please tell
me what you want.
Speak clearly.
This is difficult for me. I'm in high school.
And a side of fries.
Are you depressed or do you want the hot dog? I can't understand.
So.
What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
I like Eddie Vedder ordering cheese fries and song.
Yeah, cheese fries suck. Let's go to Jarvis in Hammond. Hey, Jarvis, what's up, buddy?
First of all, happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
You too, buddy.
But I wanted to comment to Cap. I never agree with nobody more. Mac and cheese is just tremendously overrated. The way I see it is, if you're going to give me that much cheese, give me some pizza.
Thank you.
Give me
Jarvis,
some pizza. I mean, why? I mean, like you said, you had macaroni, I've had it with everything. As far as I'm concerned, eating macaroni and cheese is like eating a Twinkie with no filling. They can dump it. Just give me some pizza. Happy holiday, you all.
You have a great holiday, man. Jarvis is a smart person.
I don't think I'd ever order mac and cheese at a restaurant, really. I mean, I guess if it were the lobster mac or something
like
that.
If you're Chicago Cut.
Right.
You're not walking up to Flom and Matt Moore going, let me try that lobster mac and cheese.
Probably not.
I wouldn't.
But mac and cheese has a place at the house. Mac and cheese has a place.
I have four boys. They didn't eat mac and cheese either.
Oh, but that's unfair because you didn't eat mac and cheese growing up. So it's not like anybody's looking around at the young Kaplan saying, hey, you know what you got to have?
Well, my wife doesn't like it either.
Mac and cheese.
It's not on our table. And my wife can cook her you know what.
Chicago Cut is does a lot of things well. Literally, my favorite item is the lobster mac and cheese, the side. I strongly recommend, Kyler, the next time you're there.
Well, I'd try.
Giving it a try, yes.
You know that place is sold out tomorrow for Thanksgiving?
Not. Oh, come on. I'm not shocked at all. That place ought to be sold out.
It's the greatest place in the world.
Fantastic.
The best. Anyway, let's go to Mitchell in Naperville. Hey, Mitchell.
What's going on, Cap?
What's up, Sparky?
With the vendetta against the soul food with the mac and cheese and the yams? If only Hoodie wasn't on vacation to regulate on this conversation.
Well, what else? Anyway. What else is soul food besides yams and mac and cheese?
Oh, now you're splitting hair. Now we got
fried chicken.
I mean, I'm sure. Fried chicken, probably yes. Collard greens, stuff like that.
What is a? I've never had it. What is a collard green?
I don't know exactly how to make it. So
it's a type. It's a type
before.
Of vegetable, guys. It's in the green family. It's a type of vegetable. You can get it at with Mariano's. You can get it at Jewel. You can get it anywhere.
Is it canned?
Correct.
Is it
fresh? No. It's a fresh vegetable. It's tough. You have to cook it. There's a certain process where you cook it where it kind of tenderizes it. It's delicious.
You've had it.
Yeah, I've had it.
It looks like looks a little bit like kale.
Yeah, exactly, Connor.
Looks a little bit like kale.
Correctamundo.
Mitchell, thanks, man. Have a great Thanksgiving, kid. 312-332-3776. We're just having some fun here on Thanksgiving. Nikki the French on Twitter says, I had lobster sausage shrimp mac and cheese in Florida last week. Was fantastic. Lobster sausage and shrimp mac and cheese.
That's wonderful. All those things are great. How would they not be
pass
good
on the lobster?
How would they not be good in
I'll
a bowl
eat the
together?
Shrimp with you. I'll eat the sausage. Keep the mac and cheese.
So you just want shrimp and sausage.
That's it.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that either.
There you go.
Can't
keto friendly. 312-332-3776. It's Chef Al says, I ate at Big Herm's every Friday. That's right. I probably served you. Take that. Keyshawn Johnson on the train wreck. The worst run professional sports team in America. The Chicago Bears. Next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Thanksgiving. Again, reminder, if, and we think it's going to happen, they whack Matt Nagy after the game tomorrow, we will be on starting at 5 a.m. on Friday and local all day. If it happens on Friday, Saturday, you'll get all your main guys on throughout the day and we'll give you a chance to react to truly the worst run professional sports team in American sport. Truly the worst. I defy you to find a team more poorly run than the Chicago Bears. They truly suck.
I would give you the New York Mets, but that's neither here nor there.
By the way, did you see the tweet from their owner this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's ripping on Steven Matz for going to
the
Cardinals.
He saw the whole thing today and then said, you know what, hold my beer.
Hold my beer. George McCaskey, I got you. That's Steven Cohen, another idiot. Anyway, that leads us to one of our favorite guests. I was a fan of this guy when I watched him play in the Rose Bowl. I'm a huge fan of this guy on radio. Now, he's on everywhere. Everywhere I look, I'm like, wait, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They got Keyshawn and a tie? What's going on here? Keyshawn Johnson. Key, good morning. How are you, buddy? Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You guys, too. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
All right, first thing that you do not want on your Thanksgiving table and the number one thing that's going on your plate other than the turkey.
So what I don't want on my plate is anything that has the word casserole in there.
Sure.
I don't bring me no green bean casserole, no broccoli, no casserole at all, no sweet potato casserole. Do not ruin my Thanksgiving with that stuff. Number two, do not put anything called breadcrumbs on top of a macaroni and cheese, although I'm making macaroni and cheese, so I won't have to worry about that. But that's the number one thing going on my plate is macaroni and cheese, and it will not have any damn breadcrumbs.
So what's with the bread? It's a texture thing with the breadcrumbs, Key?
I think it's a texture thing, but sure. I also think it's a cultural thing. I really honestly do. Growing up, it was not part of our diet on top of the macaroni and cheese, the breadcrumbs. But I got a lot of friends that will put breadcrumbs on there that don't look like me. So I have to tell them every now and then as I go to their homes or we come to each other's house, I say, no breadcrumbs, no marshmallows on top of the candy yams, none of that. No.
So someone was just calling in and said I need to try collard greens. Do you like them?
Oh, God, I don't even like the way you said that. Now I'm going to have to get all over your ass. You didn't even, oh, my God.
Collard greens.
My good friend, longtime defensive coordinator, ex-teammate Joe Barry, who coaches the defense for the Green Bay Packers. He never had collard greens before either, right?
Right. So,
oh, I got to laugh. We're eating out at one of our like training table deals, Tampa Bay, when he was our linebacker coach. He went down the line and we were standing next to him and he goes, what's that right there? It was collard greens. He goes, what's that, like warm salad or something? We looked at him like he'd have lost his damn mind. We was like, Dopey, you ain't never had collard greens. Yes, they're extremely good, but you have to get the right person needs to cook them.
Sure.
Like, I'm not eating anybody else's except my family, because everybody in my family pretty much cook the same,
mm-hmm.
the same flavor, the same everything. So it's hard for me to eat collard greens other than my mom's or aunt's or something like that. And then, they're good. It's a Southern dish, and if you're not from the South, you probably haven't had them before, or if you don't have somebody in that region, you probably haven't had them before. It's a green vegetable. It's the same as spinach. It's the same as it's the same as like bok choy, I guess, to a degree. I mean, it's a green veggie. It's like kale, basically. I'm sure you've had kale before.
Yes, yes, 100%.
It's sort of the same thing with a different bitter kind of taste.
So, Keith, you look at the Bears situation. Sylvie was on the show with you guys earlier this morning.
Yeah, Sylvie was on there.
How bad is this?
Talking noise.
So, how bad is it? Because I truly believe what they did yesterday, and it's hard to have sympathy for Matt when he makes whatever he makes, $5, $6, $7 million. There'll be no tag days. And he didn't win enough, and the offense sucks. But the way they ran him out there, as this report from a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter is raging around the city, and there's no statement from his GM, there's no statement from his owner, there's no statement from his president. It's just, good luck to you. Go on out there. If I was him, I would have walked in their office after practice and gone, F you. You guys are the worst. What do you think?
Yeah, but you know how that goes. You want to get paid. You know, you don't want them trying to fire you and not pay you, or you quitting and not get, but you want to get paid. I personally wouldn't have canned him before Thanksgiving if it's true.
Yep.
And then told him to coach a game. I wouldn't have done that. I would have fired him after the game that they just lost and let somebody else in the interim spot coach the team. I wouldn't have leaked or announced that we're going to fire him after the game. I wouldn't have done that. To me, that's not cool. You know, the holidays are already tough enough for a number of families and people. Now, look, he ain't crying wolf by no stretch of imagination, because economics sometimes will cure coaches' ill wills and feelings when they get fired based on the money that they left to earn. But it's still one of those moments where you don't want to be like, babe, I'm fired, and this is what it is when you're talking to your family and your wife around holiday time. But the reality of it is, he'll be on the streets, if it's not Friday, soon after.
Key, what do you think about how the Bears are run, given the fact that these are the events we're talking about the day before the Bears play the Lions Thanksgiving morning?
You know, I'm not on the ground in Chicago like you guys are, but the way that I always view organizations being run, it starts at the top.
Mm-hmm.
in the owners, the McCaskies, they are not hiring the right people. And when you don't hire the right people, your organizations are run poorly, and it becomes a reflection of you. If they did a better job of hiring the general manager, president of the team, then they could do a better job of hiring qualified coaches and not getting guys like Mark Trestman just because somebody tells you he's an offensive innovator. And he's a like, wait a minute, man. Be honest with you, you had the coach that should still be there in Lovie Smith. You probably would have been to two Super Bowls again by now and maybe have even won one if you'd have just stopped the BS and just let him do his job. Because when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New Orleans Saints, the New England Patriots, long-term coaches, the Seattle Seahawks, there's going to be turnover, but there's also stability there. And when you have the turnover and the stability, you're going to eventually get back to where you're trying to go. But if you switch it out a coach every 3 years, then that's not going to work. And I understand Matt Nagy hasn't shown you anything to move in the right direction. But I just go back to Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith took you to a Super Bowl, man.
Yep.
And a couple of playoff appearances. If you stay the course, you may suffer a couple losses, seasons here and there, but eventually you get back on course. I mean, like, I don't understand, but I guess when you got a whole lot of money and you just, you know, you just got money and you just do stuff, you don't care. And I think a lot of professional sports owners, they got so much money that they just like, it doesn't matter. Where you look at the Rooney, Mike Tomlin has been in the Super Bowl in how long? It's been a minute.
Yep.
But every year he's in the playoffs, and every year he's winning. And eventually he'll get back to the Super Bowl. And he may make three Super Bowl appearances in 25 years. Yeah, I'll take that all day long.
So as we look at this game tomorrow, Detroit, again, they're 0-9-1. They're not good. But they play hard. If you were on that team, would you look and go, okay, guys, this is our chance. We are going to beat their ass here in Detroit, and we're going to enjoy our Thanksgiving. Or, hey, man, it's 0-9-1. I got my money. I'm not getting hurt. What is the mentality you think that the Detroit team would have looking at this dysfunctional mess in Chicago?
They're gonna try to put them out their misery. You go in every single game, whether you have a winning record or a losing record, to try to dominate your opponent and win. And if you do that, then you're doing your job. Just because I have a losing record, I still got to play. I'm not only playing for the Detroit Lions, I'm playing for 31 other teams.
How do you feel at this point about Justin Fields' rookie season, knowing this is going on around the Bears, the injury he's already suffered, the playing time that got delayed at the start of camp? Like, has he gotten a fair shake?
Yeah, he's a rookie. He's fine. He'll be fine. Get a new coach in there that knows what to do with him, and he'll be fine. I mean, he's a rookie. This is going to happen. You're going to have your bumps and your bruises, and you got to figure it out. And he's there to stay, but they've got to hire the right person. They can't be listening to other people. They can't be getting search committees. And you got to hire the right people that know football, that know this stuff. Not some guy because he's a nice guy, because Charlie Casserly said hire him because he was great with me back in 1987. None of that crap. Hire the right person. Not this, he was the head of college scouting. He did an amazing job for the Charlotte Panthers. So, you hire the right guy. That's what you do. You go and hire, you go and get a guy. Here's a guy you go get. You go get Louis Riddick, okay, who knows football, who knows how to build a program. You hire a guy like that as your GM. Then let him bring in somebody. Or you go get a Reggie McKenzie that was building the Raiders with Jack Del Rio into something special, and then John Gruden came and completely dismantled that roster. That's the type of – somebody who's done that before. Not, he was in the New England Patriots organization, and he's an up-and-comer, so we're going to hire him. That's not who you hire.
If I said to you,
Hey, man, Ryan Day wants to get your opinion. You were a number one pick. You played at one of the premier colleges in America, and he wants to ask you about coaching, not as an assistant, as a head coach in the NFL. And Ryan Day said to you, I got this great job at Ohio State. I make $7 million a year. They'll extend me and give me more money. But guess what? The Bears called, and they're going to give me a 10-year, $100 million deal, and I'm going to have full authority to do what I need to do, and we'll bring in a good GM. Would you tell Ryan Day, go to the pros?
No, I'd ask Ryan Day, what's your satisfaction and what are you looking for? What will make you happy? Is it a challenge that you want? Or are you satisfied and happy recruiting, dealing with the portal, chasing 18-year-old kids around, begging for them for their services, and find out what it is that he's really looking for? Because Ohio State can pay him whatever the Bears can pay him.
Yeah, no question.
You know, what's it worth? Is that what you really want to do? Do you like college football? Do you like recruiting? Do you like the grind of being a college coach? And if you do, and that's okay, stay in college. But if you want the challenge of being a pro coach and what comes with being a pro coach, like, you can't tell me to go lift weights as a pro. You could tell a college kid he got to go lift weight. So you got to deal with Keyshawn Johnson. Do you want to? Are you ready to deal with that? Are you ready for me to tell you you can kiss my you know what when you tell me something? Are you ready for those type of challenges? And if you are, and that's what you want to do, then go turn around the Chicago Bears and be a hero.
Right. If he did, he would be a legend in this town like Mike Ditka is 35 years later? 35 years later.
Key. Because the one thing you can always do, you can always go back to college.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You can never always go back to the pros.
It's a great point. Hey, man, enjoy your overrated mac and cheese and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We appreciate you greatly on this show.
You know what? I hope you burn the turkey. Or dry it out.
I don't cook it. My wife does, and she's good.
Well, she might burn it and dry it out.
And I don't like turkey, by the way. I eat beef tenderloin.
Okay, I hope the beef is dried out. All right, man, bye.
By the way, go Bills. See you later. That's our guy, Keyshawn Johnson. Love that dude. How are the players feeling about this mess up at Halas Hall, which is exactly what it is? Call it what it is, the worst-run professional sports organization in America. Next.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter, at Cap J-Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Fun talking food. We're talking Bears. And I got a great stat from Jason Leisure of the Chicago Sun-Times. Opposing quarterbacks have targeted Bears number two corner Kendall Vildor 50 times this season by a Pro Football Reference.
50, if it was one.
50. Meller, did you see this tweet? He's not listening.
Well, he's listening to something for the show.
He's dropping something in.
Danny, did you see this tweet?
No, Cap.
Okay, how many times out of 50 targets have they completed passes?
Feels like 49.
35 of 50 for 541 yards, 5 touchdowns, and a passer rating on those plays of 138.8.
So he's been targeted 50 times and given up 5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
So one out of every 10 times you throw at Kendall Vildor,
it's a touchdown.
You get 6.
And 35 of 50, you're going to complete it, and a passer rating of 138.8 on those 541 yards. As he writes, there is no one who can go in for him. Vildor, being the number two corner, was plan A for the Chicago Bears this season. That's why the team sucks, because you have no number two corner. You have a bad coach. You got a GM who doesn't give you enough talent, and you got an incompetent organization at the top run by two boobs.
Listen, all of this conversation yesterday, today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, it's all centered around Matt Nagy as the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
He's just the meat shield.
And the ownership, I like that. And the ownership and how they handled this whole procedure, how they haven't handled all that kind of stuff. But it is also absolutely fair to say that this roster is a mess. Right? I mean, it is absolutely fair to say. This would be, if you threw this up on ESPN, you know, First Take or whatever it was, on the Chiron on the bottom, are the Bears a destination job?
Mm-hmm.
That'd get you content. That'd get you a half-hour discussion. And most of it would be about how I don't think it is a destination job. Look at all the contracts you got to extricate yourself from. We were, what was it, an hour ago? We're talking about Khalil Mack and whether or not the Bears can get out of that contract because of the foot and his being done for the season. You have one thing that's interesting as an organization. You have Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big. But how are you going to build around Justin Fields? How is that next guy, whether it's Ryan Pace, the guy that Ryan Pace brings in, or the head coach that gets brought in after Matt Nagy, how do you fix this?
I don't know how you fix this.
How do you assemble talent to make sure that Justin Fields becomes the quarterback you need him to become?
So Bears, in terms of their salary cap space, like, I think they have a decent amount of space next year. I do.
Spatrak would tell you.
Bears salary cap in 2022. The Chicago Bears Spatrak. That's right.
Sputrick.
No, we go Spotrak.
That's right. That's two tricks.
Spotrak.
That's the one. That's it.
The Bears are going to have, going into next season, I think they're going to have like $50 million. I think they're going to have space.
That's really close to getting you two or three things
the
you need.
Bears, without making a move yet, again, they may get rid of some guys. Bears right now, today, have $49.278 million.
And we all know the track record of teams that bring in free agents to try and fix every one of their needs.
Correct.
It's not great.
Not good.
And we all know how easy it is to bring in, you know, quality free agents to a team that has just fired a head coach and may have some turmoil around the GM, right? Mm-hmm. That's pretty easy. You just fix that. Just throw money at it. You're going to be fine. And then you have to hit on the right free agent, and that guy has to stay healthy, too.
Correct.
So all of those things, you just throw some cash at the problem. This isn't baseball, where you just throw cash at the problem and more times than not come out okay.
Your dead cap hit after June 1. After June 1 on Khalil Mack is $12.4 million. Prior, it's $24. Your dead cap hit on Robert Quinn will drop to $4.2 next June. Eddie Jackson, $8.9. This is what you got to pay these guys, what you have to assume on your cap, to not play for you, but to play against you.
That's right.
Cody Whitehair, $4.2. Eddie Goldman, $2.9. Nick Foles, post June 1, $7.66 million. Roquan Smith, you're not moving on from, obviously.
No, you're extending.
Trevathan, who's will never play for the Bears again, that's a $2.431 dead cap hit.
This is a difficult job. This is a difficult job for either the next head coach or next GM or next organization builder. This is a tough spot.
Yeah, like, you've got some real problems.
And this
here,
is
man.
This is why going into the season a couple weeks ago when I started coming in, like, the only thing I care about is Justin Fields being an elite quarterback. And whatever it takes to get him there is great. But now it's not a difficult putt to look at this organization and say, even if you do get the most elite production out of Justin Fields you can possibly get, you're still in a situation where he's got to overcome the faults on the rest of the roster.
Yeah, number one thing for me they have to address is getting a number one wide receiver. It's not Allen Robinson. He's not good enough. I'm talking about an ace.
But that's okay, so here's another layer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Allen Robinson has been a number one wide receiver in the NFL. And if he's not a one, he's a 1A. You know what I'm talking about? That next tier down where you could absolutely live with this guy being your best wide receiver. The organization couldn't get a deal done with him this offseason, and he clearly came into the year. A crucial, formative year for your rookie quarterback. Allen Robinson came in, at best, a little bit uninterested in what was going on. figuring he was playing for his next contract as much as anything else, knowing for sure the Bears didn't have his best interests in mind.
Like, if you were Allen Robinson, why would you play tomorrow?
Hard
for
pass.
What reason?
Hard pass. The only reason, think about this too, the only reason Allen Robinson needs to play tomorrow is to put to bed the report that you know, the guy that does the podcast he's on had about 43 Bears not being happy with head coach and management. Then Allen Robinson comes out, goes on the offensive, and talks in a press conference yesterday about how that has absolutely no bearing in reality. That's absolutely not true. He actually shot down the rumors that were swirling around him. He gets to fly today under a whole bunch of shade because we've got all this conversation around Matt Nagy. But there's another headline for how the Bears are run. And we're not even talking about it because of how bad this Matt Nagy stuff is.
Do you know who the number one free agent on the board is?
Wide receiver-wise?
Number one overall, and he's a wide receiver.
Oh, coming up next year.
Yeah.
Well, it's not Cup, right? He's got his own. Who?
Devontae Adams.
Oh, sure.
I can't believe Green Bay won't figure a way out to pay him.
Of course.
But why have they not signed him yet is a big question in Green Bay.
I got the whole Aaron Rodgers thing going on.
To franchise tag him because of their salary cap challenges, and especially if Aaron signs his extension and stays, it's $20 million to tag him. If he hits the market, dude, there is no price that's too high to get that guy.
That's correct.
312-332-3776. We'll get to Brian and Jameson and a bunch of your calls coming up next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Works better if I turn it on. 9:52 with Connor McKnight in for the great Jonathan Hood. I'm David Kaplan. We hope you have an awesome Thanksgiving. Danny, Jeff are here. JR's got the day off. By the way, you should go out and buy Randy Merkin's book. Randy Merkin's book. I'm giving it out to a few people as Christmas gifts.
Are you really?
Behind.
Getting it inscribed?
I don't know what Randy Merkin charges himself? For that. Yeah.
You can cover that.
But, yeah. Merkin will sign them for me.
Of course I will, Cap.
Thank you.
About 50 bucks. That. About 50 bucks a pop, right, Randy? That's all it takes.
So, yep.
Get your hand
out. It's funny. Merck's giving your book the plan out as Hanukkah gifts.
Nice. Appreciate that, Randy. That plan didn't work out as well as we all hoped when we wrote the book. You know?
Well, if hope worked out, we wouldn't be in this situation with the Chicago Bears.
Correct.
Either. Right? I mean, that's, you got to actually put it down.
I've got another book coming out. You know?
Dude, no, I did not know
that. Yeah, it's called Without a Plan, the George McCaskey Ted Phillips story.
It's going to be a tough book to write. You're going to have to really fill that up.
Oh, boy. It's good. It's just blank pages. And then
it's a choose your own adventure.
Right. And then you eat way too much food and you puke all over the pages and then you package it
and
up.
And there's your book.
There's your book.
It's very individualized.
Brian in New Lenox. Hey, Brian, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, guys, great show, Cap and Connor. Thanksgiving to you guys.
You too.
And you.
So, I don't think Nagy is as big of a problem as everybody thinks. First of all, I'm not a Bears fan. I'm a Vikings fan. The best GM the Bears have had in the last 50 years is Jim Finks, who also built the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, it's true.
He built it by building the offensive line, keeping it together, building a defensive line, and then going from there. And also wanted to comment on the Thanksgiving item. We always do a cheesy rice and broccoli casserole. And Cap, next time you're in Peoria, I'm picking up my daughter today from Bradley. Kenny's Irish Pub, they do a horseshoe sandwich, open-faced burger, smothered in cheese, and tater tots. So I'm going to hang up with
the guys. And where is that at? Because I've got a game at Bradley coming up. Oh, he hung up. Something Irish pub.
Something Horseshoe Tavern? Or no, is that the sandwich had the horseshoe in it?
Yeah, the horseshoe sandwich.
Something about a horseshoe sandwich.
But the restaurant, he said, was something Irish pub. The only Irish pub I know is my friend Jack Hoffenkamp's Kenny's Irish Pub in Countryside, where Waddle and Sylvie did a show there.
If you try hard enough, every pub is Irish.
There you go. So check that
you
one
gotta
out.
Just got to be out there.
Kenny's Irish Pub in Countryside. Ask for Jack. We were also talking about foie gras.
Kenny's Irish Pub asked for Jack?
Jack's the owner.
Kenny's Irish Pub.
Don't ask for Kenny.
Ask for Jack.
Kenny's his partner, but Jack owns it.
No, I get it, but like, go to Kenny's Irish Pub and ask for Jack. Like, that's not hitting anybody else. That's not a thing.
No, because I don't think Kenny's
around. Go to Phil's, ask for
Steve. Kenny can't be bothered.
Kenny's busy.
But his name's on, his name's on the sign.
Go to Paul's, ask for Mary. Like, all right.
Or Peter.
That's how you really, know you know a place. Don't ask for the guy on the sign. Ask for the other guy.
Ask for Jack Hoffenkamp. Okay?
There you go.
All right.
By the way, we were talking about foie gras.
What about
foie gras? Yeah, foie gras.
Oh, funny Meller. That guy. Meller's like stealth. Like, you'll walk in the morning, he's just kind of got his head done. Yeah, hey. And then he'll drop some of these lines. You'll be like, whoa.
He's gold.
Gold.
He's gold. Quality over quantity.
Do you like foie gras?
Foie gras. It's fine. I've had it on some stuff.
My wife's favorite thing.
The Gage used to do a sandwich.
Michigan,
oh, my God. Yeah, they used to do a duck burger. It was duck confit with the crackling on top and then foie gras on top of that. It was
Danny,
absolutely
do you
insane.
Like foie gras? Danny's listening to the mix. Danny, do you like foie gras?
I don't think I've ever tried it.
Yeah,
it's good.
I have, and I think it's awful. My wife loves it.
It's like goose liver.
It is produced exclusively from Moulard ducks.
But so it's duck liver. I'm a big fan of chicken liver or chop liver, so I feel like I would like that.
Yeah, not
yeah, you probably liver and onions is great, York. Yep.
Not a fan at all, but it's actually a pretty healthy thing.
Liver's so healthy for you. It's unbelievable. I don't know if foie gras is healthy for you. I know how they make it.
Probably not. Anything that tastes that good, probably not all that healthy for you.
It's defined as the liver of a duck or goose fattened by gavage, whatever that means.
I think gavage, like gavage, I think it's a I think it's a really kind way of saying whatever the hell we grabbed and threw into a duck or goose.
Open their mouth, they stick a funnel in the mouth, and then they fill it up.
It was banned in a lot of states.
It was banned here for a while. Hot Dogs had a foie gras dog, and they got in big trouble, I think, for serving it.
Hot Dogs had a foie. They had a whole dog.
When Carm comes on at Crosstalk, he's the Hot Dogs expert. He can fill you in.
I never went to Hot Dogs.
You're not a Hot Dogs guy.
No. Do you remember the celebrity that was in front of the Chicago City Council to get them to ban foie gras? And then we became a laughing stock, and they're like, yeah, we're putting the ban out. That's it. We can have it back.
No.
It was Loretta Swit from MASH.
Really?
Yeah. You said celebrity. That's misleading question. I don't know who Loretta Swit is.
On MASH.
If I didn't Google it, I would have zero clue, and I would bet you 99% of the people that just heard you say that.
Their final episode was one of the most watched shows of all time.
In 1973!
Was she arguing for or against the foie gras ban?
She hated foie gras.
She hated
it. It was cruel.
So she wanted the ban. That's why we passed it, because MASH had a lot of people watching the final episode. That's why we banned foie gras in this town?
I guess.
My God.
Yep. No question. So, it is what it is. We will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. That's in 2 minutes.